I'm just a robot and I know my place. A metal servant to the human race. I work my can off trying to satisfy. I know they'll disconnect me by and by.
And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Hope and Chris finish the last episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. Luckily, dependable Dave Filoni and crew create Rebels with new characters, new places, and new adventures, thus keeping hope alive for this podcast. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi.
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars Rebels. In this episode, Chopper separates from the Ghost crew and finds himself stranded on an Imperial ship. The grumpy astromech meets an inventory droid in service of the Empire. But will this new acquaintance become friend or foe? There will be... Chopper makes a new friend! And then he murders a man! We're talking about the Forgotten Droid this week. How you doing, Krius?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. Actually, I'm doing pretty great because I got, listen, jingle, jingle, listen to the sound. That's what? The sound of two pinback pins rubbing together. What are they pins of? The J-Guys and Jedi symbol.
Doop-a-doo.
The clone trooper head with a Jedi Council symbol on top of it. Yay. I've been waiting for these. Yeah, I love this shit. I love pins. And I think this is the first, like, officially made pin of anything that, like, our band never had pins. My public access show never had pins. No, my radio show never had pins. Made t-shirts for stuff before, but never pins.
This is my first pin.
I'm very excited.
Then.
I have a big wall of pins, and now, just like I said, it's right next to my enamel pin of the Jedi symbol and a pin of a clone. Unfortunately, it's not Rex, but there's a pin of a clone trooper with a sort of exaggerated gun. So I got it right in between those.
Yeah, I made them for Dragon Con because I've kind of come to realize it's very common for Star Wars podcasters to swap pins with each other. So I was like, oh, I need pins. So I made some. So if this episode's going to be coming out after Dragon Con, but if I have extras, I can send them out to people if you guys want them. So
maybe we'll have some sort of pin contest.
Huh?
Maybe we'll have some sort of pin contest.
Yeah. Oh, maybe something like if you leave us a review on iTunes or something, we can send you a pin free of charge.
Ooh, yeah, don't
we will buy your review.
We'll see how Dragon Con goes. I like these pins because they're ballsy. They don't have like our URL on them, which would actually putting a URL on a pin anyway would be really tiny. They're just they're just,
just a
symbol.
Just have your logo and like sometimes they'll like, because like with Geeky Bubble for example, like there's words in their logo. So like, but something like Lipstick and Lightsabers is just Leia putting on lipstick. So they're like people do like different shows and stuff.
Well, this one, I mean, if you know, it's got J-Guys in it and it's got the Jedi symbol, so they could figure it out if they've heard it once or whatever. Whatever. I don't care. It is awesome. Awesome.
I'm glad you like it.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Well, I will let you listeners know if I'm a little bit distracted. We're in the process of getting mold out of our house. So we have these like big fucking fans outside. So if you can hear some kind of like fan background and stuff like that, that's big fucking fans getting drying up parts of our house. But my cat Carmilla has been just terrified all day. So I have her sequestered in my room. So she's sitting on my lap right now. Her litter box is under my desk where my microphone is. So you might hear some like kitty sounds, and so is her food. And so
that would be a first.
Have a cat shitting on the podcast.
Yeah.
But no, right now she's in my lap. So if you hear cat sounds or hear me talking to a kitty, it's me, isn't it, Carmilla? Mommy, sure you poor. You've been so scared all day. I'm so sorry. So, but the mold's good. It'll help you breathe better, you old lady. But you don't even know it. You just know there was a bunch of strangers in the house today, and then they were cutting out chunks of the wall. And then they brought in these loud-ass fans, and you were just scared. Yes, you were. So now you're sitting on Mommy's lap. I'll take care of you. So. Oh, my goodness.
So, before we get to that, I know what you're goodnessing about. I just got one more thing. I got my little die-cast metal ghost at a garage sale.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me about this.
I have my first display. It's only like 2.5-3 inches long. You know, it's like a micro machine size. I don't know what it was made for. It just says Lucasfilm Limited on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's neat. It gives you the scale. It gives you a good idea of the scale of the ship, you know, because you can see the cockpit. So when you picture the, so, you know, you're always seeing the people in the cockpit. And when you, and when you see the size of it compared to the rest of the ship, you see they got quite a little roomy cargo ship there. And it's very neat. So now I'm going to have that on display.
One of my favorite pieces of fan art I have is actually of all the ghost crew washing the ghost. And because it's like on the ground and stuff like that. But it shows how big the ship is in this one piece of fan art. I'm trying to remember who drew it. I think it was Zion. No, it was June. It was my buddy June. And it's a really great because you can actually, like, see how fucking huge the ghost is with when they're all just, like, scrubbing it with brushes. It's a really cool photo by my buddy June, who actually just drew me a picture of Grande and Thrawn both in glasses because she loves me.
Yeah.
So, we have a scissor reel now.
Yes.
Monday after D23, just to kind of give you an idea of where this episode is. And we have a scissor reel. It didn't really show too much.
I mean, the imagery was nice. You know, the shot of the Falcon coming in with all the X-Wings behind it after the shot of all the Star Destroyers coming in was...
That was my favorite shot because... Holy shit.
That reminded me of Clone Wars and Rebels is what to me.
Yeah.
The scene of them, of Kylo Ren and Rey fighting on top of the thing over the water, just said to me, this is like the Anakin and Obi-Wan fight in episode 3, except it's water instead of fire.
That's what everybody has been saying too.
But they're on a projection. And I haven't been reading anybody. I haven't been reading anybody's. All the people are starting to. I have my one kook theory, and I'm sticking by it.
You know, there's been a lot of discussion about the world between worlds today, and it's kind of become like a running joke of like Rebels fans having to explain what the world between worlds is to everybody else.
It's just easier for people just to watch. Just watch it. How about that?
Yeah. And because there's also been a lot of discussion about the double-bladed lightsaber that we see Rey have. Because, for one, we just watched it last week. It looks a lot like a lightsaber pike, like the Temple Guards have. But yes. People also pointed out that Pong Krell, General Krell in the Umbara arc of Clone Wars, had a fold-over double-bladed lightsaber like that, too. So like the animation has like set the precedence for this before. It's not
a new Krell
thing.
Went bad.
Huh?
And Krell went bad.
Yeah.
See, I think that's the flat out red herring that they're throwing out to get everybody.
I've never seen such a heavy like misdirect ever. Yeah. Like it's clearly
so obvious.
A red herring.
It's so I was just like, okay, whatever. You know, but that goes into my kook theory. You wanna hear my kook theory?
I do.
Evil C-3PO.
Yes, the one.
I'm laying down a soundtrack for when I talk about it, so I don't even have to get the actual music. Oh,
like the Darth Jar Jar music? Just play the Darth Jar Jar music. No, just play the Darth Jar Jar music. What the hell?
Well, why not both? Anyway.
I'm scaring my cat.
Anyway,
okay.
Here's
the
my theory.
Just weird, Carmilla. He's just a weird man. You're doing okay. You're doing good.
Evil C-3PO. Carmella, come to the dark side. We have mice. All right, so Palpatine.
She likes stinks.
Is needs a body, and he probably possesses Kylo Ren at some time, but at some point he possesses Rey. And that's Rey with her evil lightsaber or whatever. Yes, ultimate power or whatever. But then Tricky Rey. Messes up Palpatine big time and puts him into wait for it C-3PO. That's why you have that shot of C-3PO doing the rise Lord Vader with his red eyes, and then he's just like, oh no, and then Palpatine's like, what's this? And then all of a sudden you have like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-
and all their wacky hijinks.
The next
it's
live
action
show.
It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
It's C-Pop Trio. C-Pop Trio. The new show on Disney Plus. Subscribe now, guys.
It's gonna happen, and it'll be. We might even see C-3PO being a real bastard and like fighting people.
Yeah, I don't really have anything that I'm forming in my head about it. I mean, I've heard all sorts of things. I heard on a podcast the other day an interview from the person writing the soundtrack. I forgot, is John Williams doing the soundtrack for Tross?
I'm pretty sure that John Williams is doing the soundtrack for this one, yes.
And apparently, they're bringing in music from everything.
He said everybody's theme is going to be in this one.
And so, I'm so torn on what everything means. Like, does everything mean just the movies, or does everything mean everything, like Clone Wars and Rebels and Resistance as well? That everything
it depends
is
on
be
who. You see, that's the thing, is it depends on who. You know, you could hear someone's theme in this, obviously, without them being in the movie. You know, I mean, we don't need Darth Vader to show up to have Darth Vader's theme in the movie. So I guess if they have something that gets mentioned that has something to do with you know, Rebels or something like that, you know, or they could use the Force music that they use in Rebels that doesn't show up anywhere else, you know, if they wanted to. I don't know if John Williams is going through Kevin Kiner's scores and stuff like that. I took that for when they said that for all the themes from the numbered movies, you know. So you'll hear Rey's music, you'll hear Princess Leia's theme for sure. You'll hear Luke's music, you'll hear, you know, ostensibly Han Solo has a theme that they wrote for him for Solo, but that wasn't. Oh yeah, no. John Williams did write a theme for Han Solo for Solo, show up. And there's like music from like Empire that's definitely associated with Han Solo. That sort of stuff could all show up. You're gonna hear every familiar little. You'll hear do 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 and da 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 da. But you hear all those anyway.
because. I was excited at first when I heard that, like, yeah, we're going to have, like, all the themes and everything's going to be in it. I was like, oh my god, like everything. I'm so excited for animation to be in there too. And then I started kind of pulling back on that because I saw somebody else tweeting about the sizzle reel that came out. And they're like, yeah, all the movies and everything is in it. And I was like, oh, cool. And then when I watched the sizzle reel, I was like, oh, all the live action movies are in there. Okay. Yeah. So I'm just like, I just want my animation to be represented. What are you looking at? What is it?
Maybe. But I don't know. The numbered movies are a weird thing. They're almost sort of like they try to keep them their own encapsulated thing. And, well, we'll see.
Though, did you hear about the new crazy theory that's been going around now about Ray's parents?
No. I've been avoiding almost any kind of scandal of it because, you know, everybody's already decided it's going to be the greatest ever or just like
this,
the most
this
horrific
is my new
ever
thing. I actually kind of like this one, but at the same, because like let me preface this. First and foremost, I love most of all that Rey came from nothing. I think that's a very important thing, that people can come from nothing and still do great things. That is my favorite thing. I hope that stays true through the movie. That being said, there is now a theory of Rey's parentage going around that I find kind of funny and interesting, and her parents being Maul and Kira from Solo.
Yeah, it's too complicated for the normies.
I like that idea because I'm like, that's cute. Like, that's my favorite. I like that better than her being a Kenobi or her being a Skywalker.
I really hope they avoid her parentage. I like the fact that you don't have to be like, you don't need space eugenics to get Jedi, you know?
Yeah. So, but yeah, I feel like the Rey thing is a red herring, like the dark Rey. I honestly think it's a vision. I don't think we've seen anything that hasn't been second half of the movie. I think everything we've seen is like first half of the movie. I feel like Kylo and Rey is going to have that big climactic fight with all the water. I feel like that's going to be somewhere around the middle. And then, like, the end is going to be, like, the craziness of everything.
Yeah, I'm only going to come up with Darth C-3PO type ideas for it because, like, I don't want to think about it too much being a J.J. Abrams thing, you know? It could work. It could not work. I'm just going to, like, waltz in there. I'm probably going to love it, at least on just first experience of it, because it's a numbered Star Wars movie, and they're programmed into my psyche. But, yeah, I'm trying to stay out of the whole, you know, and it always ramps up before the movie. It's partially, you know, that I think that the studio likes it and people like to gripe about it and whatever, but
Megan's starting a new thing of like just not watching trailers, period. Like she'll watch the teaser trailer and then she won't watch anything else.
I'll watch the trailers all day long for like the Star Wars movies because I know they're not gonna spoil me. Other movies I like have to like I like usually hold back and wait to see if anybody, because usually if it's a real spoilery trailer, you'll see people go just like, oh, geez, you know, don't watch this trailer. It gives away the whole story. So I stay. It's bad enough just going to the movies and you get the trailers and you can't not see the whole movie. I think it was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was the last movie we saw. And it had a lot of trailers for awful looking movies and they all just had the whole story beginning to end in them. And it was painful, painful. So yeah, it depends. Star Wars movies, I'll watch the trailers all day because I know they're always going to just like, if it looks like it's anything that's definitively telling you something, then it's almost 99% going to be a red herring, you know?
Yeah.
It's something out of context that looks really different. And they'll often put things next to each other, shots next to each other, as if they're happening along with each other, and they're totally not. So, yeah. I have faith I'm not going to get spoiled with a Star Wars teaser, and I can't resist watching, getting any new information that way. I've avoided any article-type information, although I probably will watch a couple YouTube videos where they go through and, like, I like watching the people who try to pick out every little detail of it.
Yeah,
but I'm not feeling that on this one, you know? I'm not feeling like I want to pore over it. I just saw it, and I was like, okay.
I do that with Star Wars Explained. Star Wars Explained is usually the one I go to, that because they like to go shot by shot and talk about stuff.
Uh-huh.
And they did a really good one, like going shot by shot of the Mandalorian, of the Mandalorian trailer. So, but
which also looks very, very. I'm liking the look of it. I'm liking that they're using weathered because they got Carl Weathers in it. But they're using some good, gnarly, old actors for it who look like they've got some miles on them. And that's and like Carl Weathers is a good actor. And Werner Herzog is a genuine freak.
There's not a lot of, like, outside of, like, Luke Leia and Han, like, there aren't too many actors that are, like, 30-plus in Star Wars.
Yeah, no, this is a Western. It's definitely gonna be a Western. So they're getting people with, like, sandblasted faces and stuff, and they're getting gristled genre actors. So yeah, I'm all about it. It's got a little bit of Italian spaghetti Western to it. So I'm into that all day. Star Wars, when it first came out, people were calling it a space Western. So. But all day.
So we got Dark Razor Red Herring. All the Star Destroyers looked awesome. And then C-3PO Murderbot.
He's full of Palpatine. Palpatine is in him.
Well, speaking of Murderbots, are you ready to talk about the Forgotten Droid?
I am.
What did you think of this episode?
This is a lot like last episode, sort of. Is where I didn't like it when I first saw it, and I like it a lot better this time. But I still have some reservations about it, but not as many as I had before. And it's also from having perspective of all of Rebels too.
I feel the same way, because, like, I kind of wrote off AP5. Like, I was just like, okay, this is cute. It's a thing. And then I didn't realize how much they was going to bring back AP5 throughout the series. So, like, every time he popped up, I was like, oh yeah, he's here. Oh yeah. But, like, now that I know how much AP5 is in the show, now that I've seen the context of the show, I'm, like, much more invested in his character now. Cause I'm just like, okay, like, he's going to be around. I need to, like, pay attention and stuff. So I really enjoyed it the second time around too. All right. You ready, Carmilla? You ready? All right. Well, she's purring, so I take that as a yes. All right. The Forgotten Droid is the 34th episode of Star Wars Rebels, and it was released... Sorry, her tail is just knocking over everything on my desk. It was released on March 16, 2016. It was written by Matt Michnovitz and directed by Mel Zweier. Some extra information for you. Steven Stanton is the voice of AP-5. He's the voice of Tarkin in both Rebels and Clone Wars, and he also voices Griff Halloran, the ace pilot in Star Wars Resistance. Steven Stanton based his portrayal of AP-5 on Alan Rickman. This is me speculating.
No. What? No way, man. No way.
I know, right? This is me speculating, but it's probably a nod to Rickman's performance as Marvin the Paranoid Android from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, this is just blew two of my notes right out of the water.
Yeah, I mean, it's very obvious. So.
Yes.
The nameless mustached Imperial captain is voiced by James Adamian. His other works include impersonating both George W. Bush and Bernie Sanders on a variety of different comedy shows like Comedy Bang Bang and The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. He has also done a slew of voice acting work within animation.
And he's doing Jesse Ventura with this guy.
Yeah.
Jesse Ventura. He looks like Jesse Ventura. He has that clip voice and talks with that, you know, sort of clip military sort of talking.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so it's Jesse Ventura and fucking Marvin the Paranoid Android. So it's voice acting fun in this episode for sure.
Yeah.
And you don't often see Jesse Ventura. Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
AP5 is named after series producer Athena Portillo. According to Dave Filoni, the number 5 comes from Portillo's height of 5 feet tall. AP5's design stems from the Death Star droid, with his proportions based on Ralph McQuarrie's sketches of the Death Star droids. While it's not named in the episode, the Rebels discovered their new planet base called Adalon. In Rebels Recon, they talk about how that even though Chopper doesn't have these big character arcs, he still has a history. He served on a Y-Wing in the Clone Wars, and his plane crashed right outside of Hera's house. She pried him out of the wreckage and restored him. AP-5 served on a Jedi cruiser as a tactical assistant. He was responsible for helping with battle plans and putting together campaigns. They wanted to give AP-5 and Chopper an extra layer to connect them together besides the fact of them being just droids. Also with AP-5, even though he works for the Empire, he did used to work for the Republic. Whenever there are side changes, there need to be some kind of explanation for it. And then I just thought this was funny. They had this great segment in Rebels Recon, and it was just Dave Filoni flat out trolling everybody. Because they did this segment where several cast members and crew members from Sam Witwer to Henry Gilroy all claimed to be the voice of Chopper. And they all made, like, Chopper impressions, too. And it was revealed in the final episode of Rebels that Dave Filoni voices Chopper. So in the segment, when it came to Dave, Dave was just like, it's absurd that people think some human voices Chopper. Chopper is Chopper. No one voices him. And it was just grade A trolling by Filoni now that we know that he's the voice of Chopper, because he was just like, no one voices Chopper. What is this? I have a cowboy hat. So.
It's him admitting he's not a human.
He's actually secretly 3 wolves inside a trench coat and a cowboy hat.
Tricky.
Hi, Yoda.
Hi.
How are you doing this week?
Itchy.
Itch? Ew. Yeah. Why are you itchy?
It's dry season on Dagobah.
Oh, I didn't realize the swamp got so dry.
Relatively dry.
Oh, so like all the mud baths are a little bit more thicker. They're not as like moist and stuff.
Yoda just applies chapstick everywhere.
I love chapstick. I use chapstick all the time. Can you hear it? I love chapstick. I can't live without my chapstick. I'm actually allergic to chapstick brand. I have to use Carmex. Okay, and random information about home. How you doing, Yoda?
Good, yeah. Good idea.
Well, I have a question for you, and it's from Mr. Paul C. Kelly.
What question for Yoda Paul C. Kelly has?
I think Paul C. Kelly is trying to set you up with somebody.
Oh.
Yeah. He sent us this picture of a lady named Mona Lisa. She is from the 80s Ninja Turtles animated series.
Oh, Yoda scrolled down. Yeah,
she's cute. She's, you know, she has green skin. She has long brown hair and a little cute pink bandana. And Paul C. Kelly's...
webby hands.
Little webby hands.
Webby fingers, yes.
She has a cute belt, so she accessorizes, so...
No nostrils. Weird. That's okay. Yoda likes
mouth
weird.
Breather. Mouth breather, so.
Yoda likes mouth breathers.
But Paul C. Kelly's question for you is, would you date a mutant salamander like Mona Lisa from the 80s Ninja Turtles?
Yes. Yoda would date mutant salamander. Yoda would date regular salamander. Yoda dates all kinds of reptiles and amphibians. Yes, goes on space internet to plenty of space fish. Swipe left, swipe right. Komodo dragon, yes. Spicy. Yoda likes Komodo dragons.
How do you feel about mammals?
Yeah, okay. Yoda goes with the flow. Yoda goes with the flow of the force.
So not they don't have like too much hair or anything for you.
fur, fins. Yoda doesn't care. Hmm.
Do you like bearded dragons?
Hmm? Oh, sure. Yeah. Monitor lizards? Hmm? Yes. Turtles? Turtles? Regular tortoise? Tortoise?
So bearded dragons aren't your beard for something more? It's a terrible joke. I'm so sorry, Yoda. I'm sorry. It was a bad joke.
Frogs, toads. Mm.
So yes, Paul. I think we have mashed up Yoda and have a
Yoda
date for
will
him.
Date them all, Paul. Mm, send them to Yoda. Mm.
Well, if you want to send more potential dates, I guess, to Yoda, or ask Yoda any questions, or if you want to ask Yoda any questions, you can either tweet me at JayGuysAndJedi. You can send us, you can leave a comment on this episode in the Two True Freaks Facebook page and send a question for Yoda. Or else I'm going to have to go on Yahoo and find random questions to ask Yoda like I did last week. So, yay! Wow.
Got him all worked up and itchy. Huh?
Go get ready for your date, Yoda.
Yeah, look at him. Yeah, I know. Better get some, like, itch powder or something like that. Get some talcum powder there, Yoda. Yeah.
Ugh. Cat, you really need to stop, like, turning around in my lap, because you keep blocking my arm from my mouse and I can't scroll down. There we go. All right, well, you ready?
I'm ready for this one.
Yeah. So, Act 1. Our heroes are all meeting with Commander Sato and Sabine's friend Ketsu from the episode that we weren't fond of, but I still ship Ketsu and Sabine, so let's go, lesbians! They're putting together a map from Zeb's old intel, from Rex's old intel is what I meant to say, and from the Lasat map that they got earlier in the season. They think they maybe have found a place for a good rebel base. They think it might be a good spot, but their brand new fancy carrier they stole from the Sham Syndulla episode doesn't have enough fuel to make it to the new system. So they decide to go and try and steal some fuel. And the ghost heads out to a nearby system. When they land on a really cool looking city, Chopper sees across the way a little shop that has a droid leg that looks exactly like the one he wants. He pesters the rest of the crew to grab him the leg, but Hera says that the mission is more important, and they leave Chopper behind to monitor the situation. But after Ezra and Zeb shoot off some terrible jokes, Chopper is like, "Well, fuck all of you guys," and he flies off to the store. The Ugnaught, which I had no idea how to spell the Ugnaught, and I was too lazy to look it up, so I just wrote Ugnaught.
You're very close. You're close.
I was too lazy to look it up. The Ugnaught that runs the store is like, "Hello, friend. You look like this leg. You look like you like this leg, so I won't charge you an arm and a leg for it." And Chopper is like, "Ugh, Zeb literally just said that joke 5 seconds ago. Can I please have the leg?" But meanwhile, the Space Family have located the fuel, but the security is heavy. And Kanan wants them to follow the plan, to get it quietly and have no complications. And Zeb is like, "Sure, right. That is not our brand." Back with Chopper and the Pigman, they're haggling back and forth for the leg. In the background, which is such a great shot, by the way, they can hear blaster fire, and you can see the ghost family are sprinting for the ship with all the fuel. Chopper tells the Pigman that he's an independent droid who don't need no owner telling him what to do. And the Pigman is like, "Oh, so you're poor and you don't have money. Got it. Go away. Get out of here." As the ghost is flying away in the background without Chopper on board. So Chopper grabs a leg, turns, and sees that he's been left behind. And he grabs his leg, and Chopper runs. And the Pigman's man tells the Imperials to go after that droid, because the droid stole his leg. And now on the lamb, Chopper runs through the first open door he sees, and it closes. And only he's on an Imperial supply ship, and it takes off with him on it. Chopper finds the supply area and hides. Meanwhile, on the supply ship, we meet AP-5, a Clone Wars veteran droid who is treated more like shit, under the Empire. He works for a nameless mustache captain. So I came up with a name for him, Chris. If you don't like this, I'm open to more nicknames. But I named him Captain Pumbaa. Because he reminds me of Pumbaa from The Lion King. It's literally the first thing I thought of. I was like, oh, this guy doesn't need a name. He needs a name. Pumbaa!
So... I'm calling him Governor Ventura.
Governor Ventura. Okay.
Governor Ventura. Governor Captain of Minnesota. Ventura.
So Captain Ventura tells AP5 to shove it, to go do his job. And Ventura tells AP5 that as soon as his replacement gets there, AP5 is going to be scrapped. Oh, no! So AP5 goes down below, and he notices that the storage area door is open. After a bit of a search, he finds Chopper and traps him inside. What'd you think of Act 2? 1!
Yeah, it is Act 1.
I have a cat literally walking in circles on my lap, so I keep having to, like, look my head back and forth between her tail and her head, and so... I'm sorry.
Well, this one, like, we would determine right off the... Well, the first thing you hear, like, this is something I just noticed about most, like, Rebels episodes, is they start with a sound of whoosh of a ship flying, and this is no different. It starts with just a whooshing sound, but, like, you realize right in this first act that this is not going to be a continuation of the tone from the last episode. This is sort of like a one and doneer
It's a palate cleanser.
Yes, it's gonna be light, because like when they first go into the planet, or you know, that where they go to steal the fuel, it looks like the Jetsons. It's like Jetson land. And I like the look. It reminds me a little of Coruscant, because there's like ads, there's glitzy ads and signs up, you know, on everything. So everything's kind of colorful. It's very, you know, you don't see it a lot in Star Wars, but when you do, it still looks really neat.
You know what? You want to know what it reminded me of?
What?
Mostly it was when Chopper was running through the marketplace. But it reminded me of the marketplace of the Colossus in Resistance.
Yep.
And, like, I know it's, like, the 3D and the 2D are, like, very different and stuff like that, but I bet they reuse a lot of the same models and stuff, because
when Chopper was running,
I was like, he could be running through the Colossus right now.
Yeah, well, the idea of the place where they were at was very much like the Colossus, sort of. They were sort of at a place where a place for trade and probably gas and fueling up, you know?
Yeah.
So let's see what other everybody in here is sort of we've got Space Jesse Ventura, we've got Space Marvin / C-3PO Rickman, and then the little Ugnaught reminds me of Wally Shawn, the actor from The Princess Bride. Inconceivable.
Oh yeah.
He's totally like Space Wally Shawn, who is also a little guy who's also sort of like gets roles like that. So it's like they're having a lot of fun with this one. You know, they're just playing tribute and stuff, which makes it more. It really reminds me of Clone Wars, who used to do that all the time. You know, it's like, hey, it's a Godzilla episode, you know, and Rebels keeps it more, you know, in its own little groove. But this one is definitely like, let's pay tribute to a lot of things and have a lot of fun. And I got a note here. Here's Ketsu. She's back. And just like the last episode, she's just sort of there. You know, she does something to help at one point, but it's just like sort of like, hey, you know, hey, thanks, Ketsu. It's almost like somebody visiting from another show or something. There's still no, you know, there's no spark there.
I have a very similar note later in
the
episode.
That's all I got for my notes, so yeah. So
I'll get to like my bigger Ketsu note later, but before I had watched, because I absolutely forgot that Ketsu was even in the episode.
Right.
When I started watching this. So, like, well, at first I was like, oh my gosh, it's Ketsu. Ketsu's going to do stuff. And then they leave her. And I was like, really? That's all we get of Ketsu? Like, why can't we use this character more? No. What is her character? But at least she came back later on. And I do have notes about Ketsu more later. We used to joke about R2-D2 when we were going through Clone Wars. We used to joke that R2-D2 is the real hero of all of Star Wars. Like, he's always reliable. R2 brings stability to missions. He's reliable. Meanwhile, you have Chopper, who's the chaotic opposite of R2, because R2 is, like, stable and reliable. Chopper's like, fuck everything, it's me time. I'm going to do this for me. Fuck all y'all.
R2 usually, like, has a plan or is in on a plan. And if Chopper comes up with something, you know, comes out with victory, he's done it just out of sheer luck, just by being aggressive, basically.
Yeah. Like, if R2 is, like, lawful neutral, Chopper is, like, chaotic neutral.
Yes.
And my only other note that I had was, I love how Chopper is like, oh, Pigman, you won't sell me this? I'm just going to steal it.
Yeah, I'll just take it. I gave you your chance to take some credits, and now I'm just walking off with it. Fuck you.
Chopper had credits.
I don't know if he actually did or didn't, but yeah.
I don't have an actual written note. I love the shot of like Chopper talking to the Ugnaught, but in the background you can just see the Ghost Crew running for their lives.
Yeah, that's all you really see of that. You just see the beginning and end of their caper. They're totally just sort of ancillary to the story. I like it.
Yeah.
I like how there's a C-3PO head hanging from the back there in back of the Ugnaught shop too.
It actually kind of reminds me a little bit of the 100th episode of My Little Pony, because it's about minor characters, and so, like, the main characters are still there, but they're always in the background, and they don't do anything for the plot.
Yeah, they're just doing,
They're just, like, in the background, and so I like that. I just love that shot of just, like, them running for their lives in the background. Kat, will you sit down? Thank you. Thank you, Kat. But that's all I have for Act 1. Did you have anything else?
I did not.
Mm. Act 2?
Act 2. Act 2 is my favorite act.
Oh, I have a lot more caps locks on this. I wrote this really fast last night, but that's fine. So, Act 2!
Let the cap locks flow through you.
No, she's sitting nicely on my lap now, and she's letting mommy pet her. You know, she's doing good. I know the mold fans are really loud, and I know the mold fans are scary, and people cutting stuff out of the wall is scary, too. You're doing good. You're doing so good today. All right, Act 2. Chopper is found and trapped by AP5. And Chopper is like, hey, friends, I'm totally an Imperial droid. Look how Imperial I am. And AP5 is like, no, I'm a nerd. So I've read every manual ever and logged away everyone here when no one told me to. So I know that you're a stowaway. And taking an extra leg from Chopper, AP5 is like, and you're a thief. And I bet you're the rebel everyone is looking for. And Chopper smacks AP, takes the leg back, and runs. I mean, rolls. He rolls away very quickly. He goes into the cargo hold with AP tailing him, and there's no exit in the cargo hold. So Chopper tries to fight his way out, but AP doesn't want to fight, and he realizes that Chopper's little sparky weapon is only available in military droids, so Chopper shouldn't have one. But Chopper says that he was a military droid in the Clone Wars, and AP says that he also served in the Clone Wars too on a Republic warship. And they both served on the Ryloth campaign, and they start to swap war stories. Chopper tells him about Hera and how she was the bestest space mom in the entire galaxy, and she took care of him and fixed him up and rescued him. And AP says that no one cared about him. They even downgraded him once the Empire started. And Chopper says that that's a waste of AP's talents. And then he calls AP pathetic to his face, because that's how Chopper do. And AP is like, I'm not pathetic. Your face is pathetic. Oh, honey, I'm okay. My cat would, like, kind of start licking my chin like, Mom, don't cry. I'm okay, honey. It's just a voice. And then Chopper is like, dude, what if I told you there is another way? And AP is like, that's not protocol. What's this other way you speak of? And Chopper says that he has free will, which is a nightmare for someone like me who has a phobia of AI. and AP thinks that that sounds really nice. But suddenly, Captain Ventura calls in, demanding to know why AP hasn't sent his manifest, and demands to know if AP has seen any rebel stowaways.
That's Governor Ventura to you. Governor Ventura.
Well, I originally had him as Captain Pumbaa, so he's going to be a mix of our two. He's going to be Captain Ventura.
I'm not a lionite. I kill and skin lions with my bare hands. I learned to do that when I was a Navy SEAL.
Well, AP struggles so much as he does it, but AP defies his orders and lies that he hasn't seen Chopper. And then Chopper shoots off AP-5's restraining bolt, freeing his new friend. And Chopper has a plan, and he's going to need some help. Chopper wants to lure the crew into the cargo hold, jettison the cargo out into space, and steal the rest of the ship. And AP is like, first, I'm responsible for that cargo. Second, that is murder? And Chopper's like, I know, murder is so much fun. Let's go. But Captain Ventura finds AP and notices that his restraining bolt has been taken off. Just as he reaches to get a new one, Chopper attacks! He beats the crap out of the captain, shocks him, and knocks him out. Because Chopper could be a serial killer if he really wanted to. And AP-5 is like, holy shit, what did you just do? And Chopper is like, shut up, help me hide the body! And AP is like, I don't know what my life is anymore! Ah! And they shove the body in the closet. And Chopper is like, hey, hold my spare leg. It's time for phase two of my plan. And AP-5 is like, you have 10% chance of your plan succeeding! You are insane! What are you doing? And Chopper starts to roll around, hooting and beeping at stormtroopers. And they all follow because stormtroopers aren't that smart. And he lures every single one of them into the cargo hold. And as the stormtroopers start to spread out, Chopper hits his rocket boosters and flies into the air. And the troopers shoot at him, and Chopper crashes just short of the door. But AP-5 appears and drags Chopper to safety. And Chopper pops up, hits the button, and shoots all the cargo into space. Bye, troopers, you're probably dead now. And then they head for the bridge to take over the ship. What'd you think of Act 2?
This is my favorite act. This is a very visual act. Like, the cargo ship, for one, I neglected to mention this in part one, but I just loved when, you know, he goes in the door of the cargo ship, and then you see it pull away, and you see how huge it is.
Yeah.
You know, compared to the little door that he, and that was just a neat little shot. But it's just very visual. It looks almost like the acrylic paints they used to use to do, like, matte paintings and stuff. It's just beautiful. And like, the details, like Rickman's visor that he has there, it's not just scratched, it has that sort of, like, you know, like you get that stuff to take the white fog off your windshield. Mm-hmm. He's kind of got that going on there, you know. It's he's had a lot of wear and tear on it, and it's just been sort of like fogged up a little bit. It's really neat. And I like that they have their little veteran, their little Clone Wars talk, like, you know, Rex would have with somebody, but they had their own little Clone Wars reminiscence. But
we
then,
have so many similar notes tonight.
But then when he goes into murder, you know, usually droids will shock you or they'll trip you up or something. No, Chopper will just take something and beat you in the face with it. Till you're unconscious, like a real, you know, like a real person fighting, he will punch you in the face.
One of my notes is there really should be a body count of how many people Chopper kills over all of Rebels.
Somebody should make one of those compilation videos of a Chopper body count. Yeah, for sure. But that's all I got for notes.
So for me, and we kind of talked about this a little bit at the beginning, I'm really enjoying AP-5 a lot more now. Because at first I kind of wrote him off as a character. I was like, okay, he's kind of like a one-off character. He might come back here and there. But
he's kind of almost like too much of a C-3PO to his R2, you know? It's like, do we, you know?
But he's different from C-3PO in a way. Like, they're very, very, very similar. And they talked about this a little bit in, like, Rebels Recon about how, like, they wanted them to have kind of an R2 and a 3PO relationship, but they wanted to be different as well. But, like... Because, like, AP-5 has never been my favorite character, but I've always liked him well enough. And so I kind of like wrote off this episode the first time around, and I kind of wrote off his character as well.
Me too. But
yeah, and so like I'm enjoying it. Like now that I know like how much AP5 is in the show, like I'm paying a lot more attention to him now, and I'm noticing like new things about his character that I just kind of like overlooked the first time through. So I'm really enjoying him a lot more. I love how they voice Chopper, I guess how Dave Filoni voices Chopper, just enough where you can almost make out certain words that he's saying. Like, like when AP takes his leg, he's just like, give me. Like, you know, like he's saying something like, give me that. And they just do a really great job with Chopper's voice that it's like, it's just close enough to where you can almost make out words, but they always have the tone just right so you know what he's saying.
Yep. There was one specific one. I can't remember what it was, but it was just sort of like, oh, yeah, is that what you're going to do or something like that? Just before he proceeded to give Jesse Ventura a beating.
I also love every time he does a little yoo-hoo at the stormtroopers because he's just like, woo-hoo.
Yeah.
My last like little note is L337 from Solo would be so proud of Chopper right now for trying to help AP.
Yeah, they would be good buddies.
Oh my god, if L3 and Chopper met, like they'd probably fall in love.
L3, Chopper, and Lando would have a three-way.
Oh yeah, because Lando did like Chopper too. Oh my god.
Lando was a little like sweet on the droids, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not at the point in my story yet, but in my fan fiction, I am pinning out a scene where Toto, who was Cad Bane's droid, Chopper, and K2SO all are really, really, really good friends. Like, the three of them, like, these three murder bots are really good friends. Because they would be. But, and my last note is actually kind of like what you had already talked about, too. This episode reminds me a lot of the Clone Wars episodes in a lot of ways. They often have these stories from characters from opposite sides of the war finding common ground over similar experiences. And, like, I did think of a lot of the Clone stories a lot, but I also thought of the episode Heroes on Both Sides where Ahsoka met with Separatists. And that's kind of what's happening here with AP and Chopper. Like, they both were... like
we're getting the droid version of Callus and Zeb.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's a lot of, like, kind of callbacks in this. But, like, they have this similar past that helps them to bond. And as you said, it reminds me a lot of the clone stories, too. Because the clones were thought to be nothing, and people thought the clones were replaceable. And that's the same as all these droids. Like, Captain Ventura thinks AP-5 is just replaceable, and he's not. He's special. And so, like, there's a lot of kind of, like, Clone Wars feelings in this episode as well. And a lot of kind of, like, callbacks to other things, too.
Yes. And references to just regular pop culture stuff like the Jetsons and Jesse Ventura and Marvin.
Yeah, Marvin was definitely the big one. I thought, now that you've pointed out the Jetsons, I'm like, yes, it is the Jetsons in the beginning. So. But that's all I have for this act. I really don't have a lot of really deep notes for this episode.
It's not a very deep episode, really.
It's really, really, really not. So.
No, it's fluffy.
Which is good, because I'm kind of...
fluffy. So. Just like Carmilla.
She is. She's so fluffy right now.
She's a fluffy lady.
She's a fluffy old lady. She's an old lady, too. So she's just enjoying my lap right now. Poor girl. Like, when I got home, she was in the laundry room, like, in the very back corner where we keep the vacuum cleaner, just curled up, like, on the tile floor behind the vacuum cleaner, just, like, curled up in the cords because she was so scared. She was a scared girl because all the mold people were here.
The mold people. Beware the mold people.
It's hard being... Her sister got outside. Spokes was like, fuck this. And the moment that the door was, like, a crack open, Spokes was just like, bye! And then Zeb was doing a bit better. Like, Zeb was meowing a lot. Like, he wanted to go outside. He wanted to get away from the noise. But, like, once we were all, like, around and stuff, he was like, okay, like, you're here. I can sit.
It's normal. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, but the moment we would leave, like, he would start meowing and panicking again.
He was a street cat. The street cats will go with the flow more. You know what I mean?
Well, so were the girls, but they've been inside. Like, they never liked strangers. Like, they were feral.
Well, he was, like, a stray, though. Or Zeb was, like, a stray, right?
Yeah, all three of them were. But, like, Zeb's a little bit more better around people and stuff. And I think it's because, like, when he was still outside before we adopted him, like, our friends would come over and pet him. And, like, Billy would come over and sit with him. So, like, he got a lot more associated with people. But because the girls were strays, too, but they never got around with people other than us. Like we're really the only people they get along with. Whenever, like, Billy comes over, they're like, nope, I don't know you. So, but they're doing a little bit better in their old age because Spokes will sit with Billy, but Carmilla will not sit with Billy. So now that they're getting older, they don't mind as much. But I think it's just because they're getting to be old ladies. Old ladies. Yes, I called you an old lady. Don't look at me like that. You're old lady. So Act three. Back with the ghost crew, Hera is pissed that Chopper went after the leg. And Ezra's like, we have to go back. But Space Mom is like, this is Chopper time out. He is fine. And suddenly they get a call from Commander Sato, and their shiny new carrier is under attack by a Star Destroyer. It's Admiral Constantine, King of Hubris, first of his name. And he figures out pretty fast that the ghost doesn't have the fuel for the rebel carrier that they need. And they send several TIE fighters. They figure out pretty fast that the ghost has the fuel for the rebel carrier needed. I have no idea what I wrote there. The ghost has fuel and the carrier can't go places. And they send out several TIE fighters to go after the ghost. And it's looking bleak. But luckily, Ketsu is there to help them out. And Sabine gets a hard-on watching her girlfriend killing things. And Ketsu helps guide the ghost back to the carrier. And back with Chopper and AP-5, they have taken the bridge. And AP even makes a little joke and tricks Chopper just so he can take the captain seat. So he's learning how to be independent, and it's nice. Chopper starts changing the course, but AP is nervous about going to the rebel fleet. He doesn't know if the rebels will treat him any better than the Empire. And Chopper says that AP-5 will be okay because AP is his friend. And friendship is magic! Second My Little Pony reference we made today. They jump into hyperspace to rejoin the fleet, which is still under attack, and Hera can't land on the carrier with all the TIE fighters on them. Ketsu is doing her best to clear them a path, and Hera plows her ship into the carrier and skids to a stop. Ezra and Zeb kick out the door and wheel the fuel out there so they can start getting the carrier up and running. And suddenly, Chopper calls in to join the fight, but Hera is not ready for shenanigans. They need to get to their new base in the Yas system. But AP-5 says that the Empire has recently sent a fleet to the Yas system to set a trap for the rebels, and they have to stay away from that system. So AP-5 starts looking in his database for safe coordinates for them to jump to. But then, Captain Ventura is waking up, and he wants to melt down some droids. He storms into the bridge before Chopper can send the fleet new coordinates, and AP-5 claims that Chopper took him prisoners. But it's a ruse, and Ventura calls him useless. And AP-5 goes, I am not useless! And then Chopper proceeds to defend his friend's honor by beating the shit out of an Imperial with a metal robot leg. And AP-5 calls back to the ghost that he is Chopper's friend. And Hera's like, Chopper doesn't have friends. Who is this? And AP says that Chopper saved him, so he will help save Chopper's friends. And Captain Ventura then shoots AP-5, but AP-5 is able to transmit the coordinates before Captain Ventura shoots him again. And then Chopper snaps and goes into beast mode, and then all but kills a man. And the entire rebel fleet jumps to safety, relying on information from Chopper, and Hera's like, oh my god, God help us, that we have to rely on Chopper on this one. And back with the droids, Chopper holds AP's hand as he deactivates. The fleet arrives at Adalon, their new home, and Kanan goes to check on Sabine's work. She saved AP-5 and fixed it up real good, good as new. And Chopper sacrificed his stolen leg so AP-5 could be all fixed up now. And then AP-5 chews out Chopper as Chopper bitches back at him, and the rest of the Go crew watches like, what the fuck? Because now there's two of them. The end!
Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. Okay, before I get to my major issue with this AP-5 Rickman thing, I like the battle with the TIE fighters in this. It was like
Star Wars. It was slower. It was not like as fast paced. It was filmed more like a Star Wars sequence. Like they had less special effects in those days, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of just like TIE fighters flying in formation and not like a swarm of CG stuff. So it was neat. It was a nice little throwback to the original movies. And yeah, did Chopper murder Jesse Ventura? We don't know if he outright
we
killed him.
We never see him again.
We never see him getting carted off in handcuffs or anything at the end, just like,
goddamn robot.
I looked it up, and it was like, I looked it up on Wikipedia, and it was like, it is presumed that he was taken captured by the rebels. And I was like, the rebels don't take prisoners.
Yeah, I presume they're not keeping him on a brig on Chopper Base.
Yeah, like they're not going to be keeping him in the brig on Adelon on Chopper Base. Like, they're not. So I'm like,
I learned to hold my breath for up to 5 years in the vacuum of space when I was a Navy SEAL.
Yeah, like Chopper fucking murdered that guy.
Killed him dead. Okay, dead. So my complaint with this episode, this is what I really hated about it the first time I liked it or I watched it, but this time I didn't really hate it, but it's still just kind of tonally okay. So we get that that Marvin is kind of whiny and gripey and has a little bit of a you know, fighty sort of antagonistic relationship with Chopper. But that sort of is all over once they start talking Clone Wars. Once they start talking Clone Wars, they instantly have respect for each other. And like Chopper's holding his hand and Marvin's going, Chopper is my friend. He's my friend, everybody. I don't care what you think and stuff. And then once he's back to normal, it's just like, blah, blah, blah. You know, he sort of turns into a more C-3PO-like personality. And it's almost like if it was a sitcom, this would be the scene where the old couple that hate each other go back to fighting and everybody goes, well, they're getting along great now because they're fighting again. But they don't really have that relationship established. It's kind of weird. He never was that. He was kind of complaining with Jesse Ventura, but he was more just like beaten down. So it was strange. It was just tonally not. It was just like his character got turned up to like 11 or 12, and it didn't play quite right with him. You know, I think it's okay for him and Chopper to get along. They can both be dicks to everybody else. But I just don't see them having as much of an antagonistic relationship. A little bit of it here and there, you know, because they're both prickly little dicks. But you know, but that's just a minor thing. I really didn't like it the first time I saw this. And
it didn't bother me as much because, like, AP-5 is a protocol droid. And, like what's important to him is, like, structure and, like, order and stuff like that. And he was a tactical droid as well. And so, like, for Chopper to give up this leg to him, he was just like, why would you do that? That's not protocol. Like, why are you doing that? Like, that's not fine.
And neither, like, yeah, but neither is leaving the rebellion or the empire and joining the rebellion either. So, yeah. You know,
I see what you're saying. I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yeah. You mean you're playing evil C-3PO's advocate.
Have we used the Darth Jar Jar music at any point in Rebels?
We have.
Okay.
I can't remember where, but we have used it, yes.
Okay, cool. Because I was like, we might need to explain that if we haven't.
No, it explains itself. Yeah. They know. They speak that language. And I'm assuming that will turn up.
We still have our bet, you know.
Which one?
The Darth Jar Jar will show up in the final movie.
Oh, I think I'm going to win that bet.
No, like, because you were like, I bet he is. And I was like, I bet not.
Oh, I thought I would have bet not. Okay.
Or maybe not.
Maybe
now.
I don't know. We got J.J. Abrams at the helm, so.
That's true. I don't remember this. If you remember mine and Chris's bet, one of us will owe the other one a dollar come trust. So please let us know if you remember what our bet was, because we don't remember.
dollar's gonna change hands.
Yeah. So one of us will give the other one a dollar for a bet that we don't remember.
But that's all I got for notes.
Yeah, I don't have that many notes either. My big one was, oh my God, Chopper fucking murdered a guy. I love Space Mom because Hera's just like, when they're flying back to the fleet and Ezra's like, we have to go back to for Chopper. Hera's just like, Chopper knows what he did wrong.
Yep.
So I want to come back to Ketsu a second because I do have a big Ketsu note because at the very beginning of the episode, like we only had Ketsu for a second and I wrote down, is that all that Ketsu does? And then in this one, at the end, like, we see that she is helping the ghost and stuff like that. But we still don't, like, we're still missing a chunk of her story. Because
yeah, it's just Ketsu, like, she just shows up, Ketsu. Beep, beep, you know?
Well, last time we saw Ketsu, we left off with her talking with Sabine, and Sabine was like, you should join the Rebels. And Ketsu's like, I don't know, I'm not really feeling this Rebel thing, you know, like, let me think about it, I don't know. And now here she is with the Rebels, and it's
apparently
fine.
She did, yep.
And, like, where was that point where she, like, joined, like, where she made that decision and stuff like that? So I'm starting to see kind of, like, a through thread, because we talked about this with Callus a couple weeks ago, how, like, we have incomplete parts of Callus's story, and now we're having incomplete parts of Ketsu's story, where we're just not getting, like, the point A to point B. And, because, like, you know, I could have seen, like, if they, even at the beginning, they were, like, where Ketsu brought them this information, she's like, yeah, I expect you guys to pay me. You know, I'm not part of you guys yet. This isn't free. You know, like, just something to show that she's not fully 100% on board yet.
Or some, some sort of friction or personality or something to, or feeling of backstory or anything. But she's, you know, it's literally like an old cartoon where it's just like, we're in trouble. Beep, beep, pew, pew. Oh, thanks, Ketsu. Thumbs up. Zoom, fly away. That was close. You know, we didn't know she was going to help us. But,
because like this is not where we left off in Blood Sisters. In Blood Sisters, she wasn't 100% on board with the rebellion. She wasn't ready to join them, and now she's here, and we didn't get that.
It's very unlike. It's. I think we're just not used to characters not being well developed. You know, not even when they start out not developed, they end up getting developed. But she just seems to be just floating along, like in the background, like they were like, we got this character. And it's going to cost too much to take her out of the story. So, you know, it's almost like they started putting her in and then they just were like, I'm not really into having Ketsu in this story, but she's here. So we got to have her do something. But yeah, she doesn't feel like a real character yet, you know, and yeah, I don't think she ever does.
That's a super valid point. Like, we're so used to characters in these Filoniverse shows being really well developed, even when they're there just a short amount of time.
Even when they're just sketched in. Yep.
Yeah. That when a character is not fully developed, it's so obvious. It's glaringly obvious when they're when the character's not developed. Like that's a very valid point. And that
it's like something from a lesser TV show.
I guess that shows like what good writing the Filoniverse has, because like they do such a good job with their stories and all their characters. Like someone even as much as like Heavy from like the Rookies episode of like Clone Wars and like episode 4, like you haven't gotten his backstory and you watch Heavy, but you know in one episode who Heavy is, what he does, right. And his sacrifice means something,
right? And you figure things out like about, say, like the Night Sisters just by sort of watching what they're doing and stuff. You get, you know, you get feelings for, and she's just sort of been there. It's like, okay, you know, She's Sabine's friend.
Are they friends? I don't know.
Her
she's not
friend.
Developed enough.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, somebody that she has history with.
Or so
from her younger days, but that's about it, you know.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's just that's a really good way of putting it. It's just when a character in Rebels or Clone Wars or Resistance doesn't have character development, it's glaringly obvious because everybody else is so well done, which I guess is a good compliment for the show.
Yeah, I mean, so. We're used to, if they don't develop somebody, the next time they come in, they fill in a little bit more and fill in a little bit more. And this time she came back in and it was just like the last time. It's just like, oh, there she is standing there. I recognize her. Ah, she shot somebody. The end.
Bye. Bye, Ketsu. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
My next note is, I do like AP's little character arc of, like, learning how to have free will, and he even makes a joke. I love the little moment where AP5's just like, oh, you want to be the captain? Well, let me hold your leg. And he picks it up and throws on the floor, and Chopper's like, oh, no, my leg! And in that moment, AP5 takes the seat, the captain's seat. He has a nice, like, little story arc. He makes jokes. He has a nice little rebels sacrifice, and he gets prepared to fight another day. I thought AP5 has, like, a nice little arc, so it was a good little episode for him. And my last note is, you know what this episode actually reminds me a little bit of? The episode where C-3PO and R2-D2 in Clone Wars go on that planet-hopping road trip.
The just sort of comedy one.
Yeah, because they too killed a person in
that
episode.
There was murder in that one, yes.
So...
and it was R2. But it was
3PO. 3PO smacked R2 over, and R2, I just happened to fall on a dude.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He Wicked Witch of the West did it, or Wicked Witch of the East did him, or whichever one got squashed. And
then R2 just had the blood of C-3PO's victim on his chest.
Yeah, just like that green
episode.
Splotch.
Yeah. That was a fun episode.
Yeah, they're very similar. Yeah.
Yeah. This episode is very reminiscent of a lot of Clone Wars stuff, and it is kind of nice, and it's a nice palate cleanser, because, like, last episode was very heavy. We're two episodes away from Twilight of the Apprentice, which should be called Twilight of All the Feels. So it's nice to have, like, a little comedic palate cleanser, like, right here at the end of the season.
A little one and done that they can stick in that's any spot in the story, really.
Yeah, and, like, I could see how people, like, could see how this is filler, but, like, AP sticks around, and Chopper doesn't get a lot of episodes. And, like, even though it's not, like, a big character arc or anything, like, it's fun to have, like, a little Chopper episode where it's just about him.
Yeah, every episode doesn't have to be I like that every episode doesn't have to be about the larger story.
Yeah, hell, that's, like, the summary of, like, Resistance.
Yeah.
So... but that's all I have for this episode. Do you have anything else?
No. You want me to score it up?
Score this sucker up, Chris.
I didn't like this one the first time I saw it at all. But I like it. I like it a lot more in this one. But I don't like it a huge amount. I gave it an 8 out of 10. So it's a good, solid episode. It's very visually pleasing to me. So that gave it a lot of credit to me. So a good, solid 8.0.
Yeah, for me, like, this is a fun episode. Sometimes you just need fun little episodes, and they're great. Chopper is just murdering people with a robot leg. Kind of reminded me a little bit of Rocket Raccoon of, like, I need that guy's leg.
Yes.
Give me that guy's leg. AP5 has a nice little arc. We got to see Ketsu do something, so that was kind of cool. But this episode felt a lot like an old Clone Wars episode. Like, it really does. It has a lot of nice callbacks to, like, old Clone Wars episodes, and it's a nice romp to break up a season, which is, you know, had a lot of feelings last episode, and we're about to have a lot more feelings in a few episodes. So.
And it was, like, just the tone of the Clone Wars. It wasn't like it has, like, you know, stuff from the Clone Wars in it. It just had the feel of one of those one-and-done genre tribute episodes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Except this was, like, 3 or 4 different genre tribute episodes all thrown into one. And so lots of fun with the voice acting.
Yeah. I forgot to mention, Dee Bradley Baker was the voice of the Ugnaught at the beginning.
I wonder if he was doing a little Wally Shawn there.
But I give the episode a 7.5 out of 10. Like, 7 is, like, my normal average episode, and this is a little bit better than average, so I give it a 7.5. I really enjoyed it the second time through.
Excellent.
Did you say pigzilent?
Excellent. No, but Pixelent would be good too.
Pixelent. Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. The feedback for this week comes from the Facebook page for our episode of my podfic, The Lucky Leku. And I just want to say, like, thank you for this comment. Like, it really, really made me feel really nice. And I hope you guys enjoy it. And as soon as Dragon Con's over, I plan to write the next, like, 2 chapters of Lucky Leku. And I look forward to that. I'm just a crazy person right now with Dragon Con. So thank you for the really nice comment. So take it away, Chris.
So now that you spoil it, hope they know it's a nice comment. It comes from Paul C. Kelly.
Ooh, yeah.
Fun listen on the way to work.
I like how we hear the story about the good guys having sympathy towards some of the people representing the bad guys, like the underpaid stormtroopers. Oh yeah. Go on strike. Seen a lot of the bad guys sort of having sympathy for good, but not as much of this the other way. Oh no.
Thank you, Paul. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Okay, first I need to reach my candy with a cat on my lap. Okay, you see.
All right. I just got a message from Dario. Our new candy box is on the way, so we're we still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's still 6 candy bars in here.
Do you have the blue and brown Lily O'Brien's?
I do.
Let's do that one. It's not
that's
too big.
Let's get rid of that one, and then they're a lot more like color coordinated after we get this wrapper out of here.
So if you don't
this
know
what
we're doing,
this one looks like it should be soap in a hotel room.
I know. I was actually just thinking the same thing.
It's probably really good because it's dark chocolate and Himalayan salted bar.
Well, if you don't know what we're doing, Chris hates American Kit Kats like a weird person. So our friend Dario sent this candy from all over the world to review, and Dario is Chris's co-podcaster for Eat 'em Beat It, and the Lily O'Brien is from Ireland.
Right. Lily O'Brien. Have some of our Irish chocolate.
I need to open this. Open. Open. Kitty, this is definitely not for you.
Oh, it's good.
It smells like dark chocolate. Ooh.
It is. It's just like generally nice dark chocolate with a little bit. It's not too heavy on the salted aspect of it, but just enough to give it that complicated flavor.
I wish it had a touch more salt because I really like salted dark chocolate a lot. I wish it just had a touch more. Just a touch.
We were in a Walgreens store today, and I was in the Quack Medical, you know, where they sell all the, like, as seen on TV, and they had a nasal inhaler that you're supposed to put Himalayan salt in to sniff the Himalayan salt. The odor of Himalayan salt, and it's like, feel the refreshing scent of, you know, being by the ocean. And I'm like, you can just sniff the salt. Salt is salt.
Mm-hmm. Mm. This is really good, though. This is definitely not for kitties. Definitely not. You don't get any of this, Carmilla. Mm. Thank you, listeners, for putting up with me being distracted by a cat in my lap the entire episode. Thank you, Chris, for putting up with me by being distracted by a cat the entire episode.
I like cats, so being a cat whisperer, I'm not.
She's a good girl. Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. That's our website. Twotruefreaks.com. That's a website address. And we got all our podcasts there. You can sign up for RSS feeds there, or you can go subscribe to us through iTunes, either way. And you can go to Facebook, where we have the Two True Freaks podcast page, which we also post all our podcasts up on. We have the Two True Freaks Cantina also on Facebook. And that's more of a meeting place to just sort of go and talk about stuff. What's going on? Like, say, the new Rise of the Skywalker trailer or whatever the hell it is that's coming out by the time this comes out. And if you really want to get hip, you go to Twitter. That's where all the hip kids, although we need someone to do an Instagram page for us, apparently, because Instagram is a big deal nowadays, yeah. I guess, with these kids.
Yes and no. I mean, I have Instagram, but I barely use it.
What I'm talking about is Twitter, where you can go, and we also have a Two True Freaks Twitter page where we tweet out all our new episodes. And that is run by the impossibly complex and multi-layered Gene, the podcasting machine.
I'm going to see if you can hear this. Gene, did you hear that?
Yes, I could.
That was me flicking the back of my Alphabet Squadron patch.
Oh, nice.
I have an Alphabet Squadron patch that I got for pre-ordering the book, and I flicked the back of it.
I thought you were playing your cat like a bongo.
I almost made my chair squeak like, dun, 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 But then I had a cat on me. My cat just was like, what are you doing?
I thought you were playing the cat like a bongo.
No,
I was at a garage sale the other day, and I cat whispered a cat that I could hear the people at the end of the driveway going, look, look, she's coming right up to him. She doesn't come up to anybody. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, yeah, that's right. Cat whisper. Mm-hmm. Then we went to this other place with this gigundous black lab dog, big, you know, doofy, happy, you know, tongue lolling, smiling lab just came running out.
That's
and
what
like
we call
did,
a good
did the
dog
lean
is.
Against me, you know, where that where you're petting him and he's leaning against you, and then he starts leaning more, and then you realize he weighs like 100 pounds, and before you know it, he's on the ground with his belly up, and you're just going a doom ba doom 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 ba doom doom on his belly.
Yeah,
it's fun.
I couldn't do that to my old lady.
Yeah, cats don't like getting played. They like getting spanked more than getting bongoed.
Yeah, and by spanking, it's like a very nice like tap on the butt, like right at the base of their tail.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like that, Carmilla?
Yeah, they do.
Did you hear that?
Sometimes they like it, sometimes they like it, and then they get that they'll get really scratchy.
Yeah.
But anyway, next week. I don't know what's coming next week.
Well, I have to do where people can find me.
Oh, shit. Where can they find you, Hope? I'm sorry. We keep getting sidetracked on cats.
I know. This is what happens when we have cats on our podcast. Man, too bad we don't do a video podcast, but it's probably a good thing because I didn't put on makeup today. You can find me at JGuysAndJedi. I run our Twitter account. You can also find me at HopeMonax. You can find me at GeekyGirlExperience.com. And I'm also a fan fiction writer on Archive of Our Own. Or AO3 for short, the Hugo Award-winning Archive of Our Own.
That's correct. And
my name on there is Chaos Lydia. I have 2 stories and a plethora of one-shots and, like, little drabbles and stuff like that, including a couple fulcrum pieces, so that I wrote for in anticipation of the Cassian Andor show. So, yay! Well, yeah, that's where you can find me. Next week is... I think the googly-eyed spiders is the first appearance of the... I think it's Mystery of Chopper Base.
Oh, yeah. They're a classic piece of Ralph McQuarrie art.
Yeah, the googly-eyed spiders that I can't take seriously.
I wish our googly-eyed cyborg spider friend would come back from Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Spider Sean Connery.
Yeah, he's...
He could team up with Governor Jesse Ventura.
I the thing about the googly eyed spiders, I can't take them seriously. Like, the first time I saw them, I was like, what is that? And then I saw them like moving around, I was like, oh, they have googly eyes.
I think the googly eyes are actually like creepy, you know. It's like they're a little goofy looking, but that's enough to disarm you that they'll kill you. Kill you.
Yeah.
They eat you.
But that's all I have, so... Yeah! Anything else from you, Carmilla?
Googly-eyed bastards killed my son.
Carmilla's licking her butt, so I don't think she has anything else to add to our conversation, so...
Maybe that's what she's adding.
Sounds about right.
All
Yoda's
right.
She's adding the same thing to this conversation.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Picture that. Take that picture with you to bed. Dario Gonzalez, who's probably asleep right now, dreaming of Yoda cleaning himself. Good night.
Good night, guys. Bye.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes. You can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Aww.